Thank you, Stephen. This is Rachel Haynes. You've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 p.m. to catch another Labor Radio.
You're listening to Community Radio KBOO Portland.
Got troubles, I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, can say it through, cause you got a friend in me.
Here goes nothing.
Tune in to KBOO for Drinking from Puddles, hosted by Brandon, every other Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. That's Drinking from Puddles, every other Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Yeah.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. Just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening. You're listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. Tonight we are talking with four members of Portland Cop Watch. We're going to be memorializing Dan Handelman, remembering Dan Handelman, who is the founder of Portland Cop Watch and passed away last month. It was a great loss to the entire community, and we're going to be remembering Dan and all of the great things that he's done, and we're also going to talk a little bit about Portland Cop Watch. So I'm going to ask Barbara to start, if you'd please introduce yourself.
Okay. My name's Barbara Boshinsky, and I've been in Portland Cop Watch since either 2014, 2016, I think, around there, 2018, I'm not sure. And so I've known Dan that long and worked with him pretty closely, as have the rest of us. And it's been very educational because police accountability is very complicated. There are so many like policies and bureaus and the police department itself and chains of command. And then there's all these police accountability groups. And so figuring it all out has been quite a bit. And I mean, Dan had it all in his head, I swear, all in his head. So, so it's been a very much of an education in a lot of ways for me.
Thanks. And I'd like to ask Mark to please introduce yourself.
Yep. Hi, I'm Mark Porras, he, him pronouns. I've been a member of Portland Cop Watch 2021. I learned a lot from Dan and I miss the guy.
Yeah. Thanks. And now I'll ask Philip if you could please introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Philip Chachka. I've been part of Portland Cop Watch since about 2013. And, you know, I've been kind of doing it off and on, sometimes more involved, sometimes less involved. It's kind of that sort of organization that fits what you can do at the moment.
Thank you. And we'll ask Charlie if you could please introduce yourself.
Certainly. Charlie Michelle Wesley. I am a tribal member of Federated Tribes of Grand Ronde, which is out in West Oregon, and former Police Accountability Commissioner. Worked closely with Dan on that. We tried to get on every committee together we possibly could. He brought the brains and that kind of knowledge, and I brought lived experience and that knowledge. And it was kind of like a mentor to me. And it kind of, I was to him. Like, we each knew things about, topics that we didn't know about previously. So, yeah, it was definitely an educational experience and definitely going to miss him.
So Dan Handelman was a force of nature. I mean, I knew Dan through a completely separate group, and I didn't really have anything to do with Portland Cop Watch. But I heard about Portland Cop Watch in one of Dan's other groups, which was the Iraq Working Group. Dan also was the person who was responsible for organizing the committee, trying to keep the Joint Terrorism Task Force out of Portland. So Dan was a man of many talents. He was just a naturally gifted organizer who put together numerous peace rallies and demonstrations. But I mean, the thing that I think most people in Portland know him for is for his role as the founder of Portland Cop Watch. Could somebody please tell me a little bit about the history of Portland Cop Watch? Why did Dan start it, and when did it begin?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I think it was about 30 years ago.
Yeah, we had our 20, I think the 25th anniversary last year.
Was it? Okay. And what I remember him telling me was that it came out of his work in the peace movement, where he decided that the police violence was also a peace issue, because he had friends being drafted and stuff, or not drafted, but in the military.
Thanks. And could somebody tell me what is Portland Cop Watch? Just let's go to a really big kind of general explanation. What is Portland Cop Watch, and what does it do?
Well, I mean, I can read it from our website. we're a grassroots volunteer organization promoting police accountability through citizen action. And we are part of Peace and Justice Works, and we adhere to principles of nonviolence. And then in the small print, we're a movement, not a franchise. We're all about police accountability.
And we've done a lot of, as a group, and especially Dan has done a lot of work going to different police accountability meetings. I personally mostly have gone to Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing meetings, also a little bit of testimony at City Hall, at the council meetings, which was new for me. That's something I got into at Dan's side, learning about all that. And
throughout the years, Portland Cop Watch has also worked with victims and survivors of police misconduct and tried to help them see what options they have for resolution, or try to see which options for reporting misconduct and that sort of thing with the police. Also, you know, discussing, you know, should what you can do if you need to file a lawsuit, or how to navigate the oversight system that the police currently have and try to walk them through that. Part of it's also educating the general public about Portland police. In particular, we also report on Oregon police in general, overall, but mostly just Portland, the Portland police. Sometimes we'll talk about the Multnomah County Sheriffs because they're an aspect of policing in Portland as well. We do things like cop watching as a group. We haven't done that as much since COVID happened, but we would schedule times where we'd go as a group and walk around and talk to people out on the street and hear about their experiences with the police and if they've had interactions with the police, how those interactions have gone. Another thing, as Barbara was saying, we do end up going to a lot of meetings because that's where policy is discussed and that's where the community can often have a voice and make comments, whether it's city hall or city council meetings or various advisory boards that the police respond to or the city responds to. We go to those and try to give a little input and education as far as what's been happening with the police.
Right. I think all that information that he's gathered over the decades around policing, I just feel like working with him on, he brought all that cop watch knowledge to the Police Accountability Commission. And I just felt like he was a major, major player in creating that. And you know, we worked so closely together on that because I brought that lived experience part and he brought all that massive knowledge he had. And I'm not sure we could have created what we actually came up with without him and all that, all those details that he brought to creating it. And he was just, we were all pretty frustrated with what the city did to the Community Board for Police Accountability. But Cop Watch also, though, we have this Know Your Rights. And that's something that I utilize all the time when I'm out there with community, making sure everybody knows their rights. In fact, we should make a note of this. In the process of updating it, there's a couple of things on there that need to be updated. But anyway, it's just really helpful because so many community members do not know their rights. And it was important to him.
Charlie, can you tell me a little bit about the creation of the Police Accountability Commission, the Portland Police Accountability Commission, and Dan's role in helping to start that?
Yeah, I ended up getting asked to support Measure 26217 and getting that voted for. So we were, you know, I was out in the streets knocking on doors and handing out flyers and hanging up door flyers as well. And then one of the volunteers said, well, okay, we got it passed with nearly 82% of the vote. We were all really happy about that. And I thought, okay, I've done my part. But then they said, well, go ahead and apply now for the Police Accountability Commission. And I never really thought about doing that because all I could really bring was extensive lived experience in over-policed neighborhoods my entire life. And to my surprise, they picked me. So that's where I met Dan. And, you know, I'm not sure what his role was prior to that, but we kind of gravitated to each other right away and made sure we were on as many committees together as possible, starting with the one where we created the values and the goals and those types of things, because we had those in common. On the website too, you know, he talks about anti-racism and he used to love when I would talk about white supremacy because that's not a topic that most people want to talk about. And he knew I'd be willing to do that as a woman of color. And we just hit it off. You know, there was so much that he didn't know about lived experience in over-policed neighborhoods that BIPOC people go through. And he just really appreciated that. And he just had, I feel like he had this in his mind for years or decades of what he wanted to do if he ever got in a position to create a system to hold the police accountable. And he was just so gung-ho about it. And we just worked our hands, I don't want to say we worked our butts off on this, but that's basically what it was. It was just leaving no stone unturned, and also encouraging him to look outside his box to some things that might be missed. Like, automatically they were like, nobody with a criminal record could be on the Community Board for Police Accountability. So I would push him to support that idea. Like, everybody isn't, people aren't always the worst thing they've ever done, right? People change over time and get their lives together. And so between him and me, you know, a lot of times he would back up some ideas that he probably never would have thought of if he didn't come from an over-policed neighborhood. And then we'd have to convince the city attorney to find some wording, you know, because they would be so, no, we can't do that. We'll find a way to do that. And so we were always pushing it beyond what the city council, city attorney didn't want to put in there. And so we got it done, and we were pretty comfortable with what we had come up with, because it was the best we could do, right, with and stay legal and all that stuff. And then we had to turn it over to the city, and to the city attorney and to Judge Simon. And it just totally felt like they were picking it apart in a way that it would not, they would assure the police would not be held accountable. And it was devastating to us all. And, it, you know, especially Dan, it felt like this was his dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be able to do that and not have to hear about another death, you know, especially disproportionately Black life taken again, unaccountable. He had a lot of opinions and thoughts about that we would discuss, and it was heartbreaking for him each and every time we got another report. And, you know, our hopes were kind of high that maybe we might be able to prevent, you know, another death.
So Mark, Philip, Barbara, Charlie, we are on Prison Pipeline talking about Dan Handelman. We're remembering Dan Handelman, who passed away recently, the founder of Portland Cop Watch. Dan was really well known in the community. Oregon Live did a really, I mean, I don't know if it was a good article or not, but they did a very informed article about Dan's work as a lobbyist, as somebody who was, you know, down at the city a lot, who was well known by members of the city. And his memorial, I met two city councilors came. Two people from the New Portland City Council showed up for his, you know, for his funeral. And he also got the Oregon Live podcast did an entire show about remembering him. So, you know, Dan is really well known. What do you think the future of Portland Cop Watch is going to be now that Dan has passed on?
Well, we have discussed the fact that we are not Dan. So we are trying to bring his work forward, but in the ways that we work, you know, and seeing who has what skills and trying to work together and, yeah, and keep the Portland, the little newsletter going and the website, and then, you know, going to different keeping track of different meetings and just even deciding what direction to go in now, given that things are a little different. And, but yeah, we're all pulling together pretty good.
Yep, we're gonna continue trying as much as we can to look at basically every piece of policy that comes out of the city that's related to policing and comment on it. That's been going on, you know, since the beginning of Cop Watch. We're gonna continue to testify on all the police brutality police misconduct settlements at city council, you know, to inform our elected officials so that they know what's going on, because, you know, they're the ones really that can rein the police in by changing policy so that people don't get harmed by the police. Those are two of the big things that we're going to do. And like Barbara said, we're going to keep going on with the People's Police Report. Dan did a lot of organizing, like everybody has said, with other groups. We're gonna carry on that work as best we can. But also, like Barbara said, yeah, nobody's Dan, so we're gonna have to spread that work out.
I know Philip.
Do you want to add anything?
Philip had some thoughts on that too, of how to.
There's a lot of people in the community that have a lot of knowledge, and they've been attending meetings. And they're part of other groups that do police accountability work. I think it's great. And I think we would like to collaborate with the people in the community that are doing that work. And Portland Cop Watch has been collaborating with those people for a long time. And I think we will continue to do that. And, you know, Dan put in so many hours a week to support, to monitoring the police in Portland Cop Watch. You know, he really developed an encyclopedic knowledge of everything that was happening related to police misconduct and police oversight. So we won't necessarily, as individuals in Portland Cop Watch, have that ability, but I think working together, we'll have a more a collaborative effort to keep on top of things.
So one of the things I remember talking to Dan about in the month or two before he passed away was the new city council. I remember Dan was talking with the peace group, which that's how I knew Dan was through the peace group, mm-hmm. about the JTTF and how, you know, the new council is really great because it's proportional and it was, you know, done through what is that called, the ranked choice voting. It seems to be more representative of Portland than the last council. But unfortunately, when you have so many new councilors, you have to educate them all over again about issues. And his issue that he was talking to us about was the JTTF. It sounded like at the time, maybe half the council was going to support keeping the JTTF out of Portland, but the other half he wasn't so sure about, and he was concerned about making sure to educate those people. Based on your understanding of Dan and also your own experience, how is the new city council doing on issues related to policing and community safety?
Mark?
I mean, I think we have some pretty good leaders in that space. There's a lot of support for Portland Street Response, I think, which is good to see, because there's a lot of encounters with people that can be handled by people that don't have guns, and that's going to save a lot of lives. And I think having 12 counselors, it's a bigger job to make sure they're all educated on the topics. And we know from a recent Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing meeting that the new independent court monitor who's overseeing the settlement agreement in the United States versus City of Portland lawsuit, which is in place because of PPB's use of excessive force on people experiencing or perceived to be experiencing mental illness. We know from that PSEP meeting that the independent court monitor has been able to meet with, at least as of last week or the week before, with 10 of the 12 counselors. And it's a little concerning that some of the new city council members don't even know about the settlement agreement. I don't know. What does anybody else think about this?
And that is so true. What's concerning is when it comes to trying to get police accountability in place, we're like 6-6. You know, that's really concerning. It feels like, you know, kind of like a simple but very necessary change around bias for against police that we were hoping to at least get a definition in there. What does that mean? Because the way it was set up is like you basically you can't reveal anything that might make you look biased against or for the police, and then you put three law enforcement on the nominating committee, you know. So when Samir, or I should say Counselor Canal, tried to get that changed, the folks that had got endorsed by PPB, PPA, were definitely not going to go for that. One of them just said, why are we wasting our time on this? Yeah, some of the things around policing are really concerning if we ever really want accountability. And the ones who are fighting for it kind of get criticized by the other city council. Yeah, they do.
Thank you. So we've just got a couple of minutes left in the show. I'd like to ask each of you if there's a memory that you'd like to share of Dan as a closing thought. And then at the end, if you want to share any information about how people can learn more about Portland Cop Watch. I'll start with Mark. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share, memories you'd like to share of Dan?
You know, I'm just looking back through my emails now, and we were in touch quite a bit over the past few years, you know, many times a day. And I don't really, nothing really stands out, but I really miss collaborating with Dan and running things by him and editing what he wrote and him editing what I wrote. And yeah, I really miss collaborating with that guy.
Thanks, Philip.
Dan had a certain way of running meetings. So we had like meetings once a month for Port and Cop Watch, and they were dense. I mean, we had an agenda, and like it was like we stay on topic and we got a lot to cover, and it was a dense meeting. And I just kind of looking back, I kind of get a kick out of thinking like, okay, Dan is like really, really driven. You know, I don't think I can ever be that driven about anything, but like somehow he had the energy and like the drive to keep this going for so long. And I think that's really amazing.
Thanks, Barbara.
Well, you know, after when I first found out that he had a serious stroke, my reaction was, oh no, I won't be able to text with him when we're both on a Zoom meeting separately, you know, and how in a way meaningful that was. So, I mean, it's an odd little thing, but it's something I feel sad about. His sense of humor, his information, I don't know. And the fact that he did listen to me.
I guess I'd just like to say in closing that Dan, you know, he just had this staggering reaction to the injustices of violence and death caused by war and police deadly force. And he had this, you know, huge concern for not just Black lives, but for marginalized and vulnerable folks. These are qualities. And combined with his own humble way of existing, which is a whole nother story about Dan, but this allowed him to dedicate his life, you know, to gathering and sharing and testifying information about the inner workings of the injustice system with accuracy. And in his passionate endeavor to bring to the forefront the moral failures by the powers that be, and instead of, he just felt strongly, instead of spending egregious amounts of money for these deadly wars and policing, to instead bring about accountability. You know, that was huge for him, and to meet community needs, which right there is key, and to keep them safe, and ultimately to provide long, long overdue justice and reparations to the people. I had much respect for Dan, and yeah, he is truly, truly missed.
Well, thank you. It's been so great having this chance to remember Dan Handelman and learn a little bit more about Cop Watch. If people want to find out more about what Portland Cop Watch is doing or learn about its history, where can they go to find out about the history of Portland Cop Watch?
They can find the website at portlandcopwatch.org.
Great. All right. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you all. Thanks so much for joining us tonight on Prison Pipeline.
Thank you.
Thanks, Emma. Thank you. Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be
Granny D. I'm talking from KBOO, Portland. I come from Dublin, New Hampshire, and I go across the country working for public funding at the state level. And I often hear about KBOO.